According to the latest census of 2021, Christianity is on the decline in Australia. From 2016 to 2021, people who affiliated themselves with Christianity decreased by 8.2%. That's a little over 1 million people in 5 years saying, no, we don't affiliate ourselves with Christianity. It's pretty scary, isn't it? In 5 years. I was also interested in the figures that 38.9% of people in Australia declared no religion at all. 38.9% of people in Australia declared no religion. And I also read that the Uniting Church has the second fastest decline in numbers. Scary when you look at census results, isn't it? With just a little over 40% of our country identifying as having any connection to Christianity, we now find ourselves in an increasingly secular environment. Constant exposure to secular values and worldviews can over time erode the foundation of our faith. And this generally happens subtly, without us being aware of how far we're slipping, of how far our principles and standards are slowly being watered down. The enemy, Satan, he doesn't walk up with a pitchfork in his hand and ask with a diabolical grin, how would you like to become a drunk or a drug addict? You'll become a thief and a liar to support your habit. You'll ruin your health. You won't be able to hold down a job. You'll destroy your relationships with your family. Do you want to sign up? No, that's not the way he does it. Instead, he says, hey, you need to relax. You need to feel good. You're under a lot of pressure. And your friends are all doing it. Don't spoil the fun. Pop a pill, take a little drink, and he ensnares you. There are many snares out there. The media, including movies, TV shows, and online content, very often promotes values that don't match up with Christian teaching. If we keep watching such content regularly, we can find ourselves becoming less sensitive or caring about the things that go against our faith. We become desensitized in this secular world that we live. Following what society expects, especially in our social groups or at work, might make us hide or change our Christian Bennett beliefs so that we can fit in, so that we can feel part of the group, or so that we can avoid any arguments. The values and actions of friends and peer groups can strongly influence us as individuals. It makes us think about who we should be hanging around with, who we should be spending a lot of time with. I know I said to my son just recently, just a few days ago, about my granddaughter who's having trouble with relationships at school. I said she needs another set of influences in her life. How about you try and get her back to youth group? It's important who we hang around. It's important who we socialise with. Because with peer friends and peer groups, they influence us very much. And we can be worried and about being rejected or isolated. And this can make us compromise our beliefs so that we stay connected socially. In today's modern world, the common thinking is that what's right and wrong depends on each person. There's no set of values, it just depends on each person. It's a personal thing. This is dangerous because this focus on doing whatever we want and being free to choose anything we want because we think it's right makes us put things before Christianity or morals or ethics. Prioritising our own desires over ethical feelings potentially means compromising our principles for personal satisfaction. They're just a few snares out there, and there are many others. So in this environment that I've painted for us, how do we, as modern Christians, and especially as young people in this world, I feel really sorry for the young people. I mean, listen to my granddaughter for a few days. I feel sorry for them because there's so many pressures on them that we didn't have. So in this environment, how do we as modern Christians maintain our commitment to God and His ways and standards? It's a big question. And it's not an easy thing. But the stories from the book of Daniel offer valuable lessons about staying strong during tough times. Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were Jews who were taken from their land and exiled to Babylon. That must have been tough. I can't imagine what it must be like to be taken forcibly from your land and taken and to live somewhere else. They were living in a different country. They were a minority, surrounded by a new culture with new gods. Some of their fellow Israelites had decided to resist Babylon by revolting or withdrawing. So they said, you know, they wanted to be the troublemakers, if you like.
No.
Others gave in. Yeah, what's the use? And they adopted the Babylonian way of life and they embraced the new gods as their own. Others, like Daniel and his friends, followed the advice of the prophet Jeremiah. The advice was to settle in, build houses, plant gardens, grow families, and to seek the well-being of Babylon and pray to God on its behalf. So they were to be part of the society, but at the same time, they were to honour God. As we saw from the video before, Daniel and his friends were recruited to work in the High Court of Babylon. They chose to serve the king of Babylon. They even took Babylonian names and they dressed in that style, in their style. But they didn't give up their heritage. There were moments, as we saw, when they drew the line and chose faithfulness to their God and resisted the influence of Babylon. They were strong followers of God and they were committed to His laws and decrees. They wouldn't bow down to the idol of Babylon and give allegiance to the king as if he was a god. They just wouldn't do it. We saw that. This is where we see their true loyalty. They were willing to lay down their lives rather than give in to Babylon's idolatry of power, its arrogance and injustice. And what did God do? He vindicated them for their faithfulness. He saved them. So Daniel and his friends would serve Babylon and seek its well-being, but their loyalty was always, always to God. They didn't compromise. The way of exile is a combination of loyalty and also subversion. We see this in Jesus when he said it was fine to pay taxes to Caesar, but then said, don't mistake Caesar for God. God is the one who deserves your total life and allegiance. He taught his followers to love and even bless their enemies, but he also got arrested for speaking out against the corrupt leaders of Jerusalem and Rome. As God's children adopted into his kingdom, which has not yet been fully established, we are foreigners, temporary residents of this world. We are to respect the authorities of the place in which we happen to live, to honour and to love all people. But we need to keep in mind that this isn't our true home and our allegiance is to God. If you looked at 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12, you'd read this. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours. It goes on. But this is the part I'd like us to really focus on. We're temporary residents. We forget that sometimes. We're temporary residents. Our home is a heavenly home. If you read it in the Passion Translation, it would describe us as aliens and foreigners in this world. Do you ever feel like an alien in the world? Yeah, I do. Feel like an alien, alien views. And then the Passion Translation goes on to say, I appeal you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. So here we are, called to live in this tension between loyalty and subversion or rebellion. How do we seek the well-being of the society in which we live while having allegiance to God? Well, we're going to look at some of the key lessons from the book of Daniel, which tell us about faith, deliverance, and resilience in the face of adversity, and provide valuable lessons about commitment and living towards our Christian beliefs. The first one is unwavering faith in God. This is a lesson that's good for us. Daniel and his friends remained steadfast in their devotion to the Lord. They would not, despite facing certain death, give their devotion to any other. And I love this verse from Daniel, which was actually in the story we saw before of the fiery furnace. They actually quoted this verse, and it's a very special verse. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Now that's unwavering faith, isn't it? That's a lesson to us. And as I read it, I thought, wow, if I was in that situation, would I be that strong? Yeah. Unwavering faith in God. The next one is resisting compromise. Daniel could very easily have helped himself to the rich food and wine provided from the king of Babylon's table. After all, who was looking? Who would know? Surely a little indulgence wouldn't have hurt him. After all, it was the way it was done in Babylon. Have you heard those things before? Have you said them yourself? Sure, that's not going to hurt me, you know. Doesn't matter if I watch that show with all that swearing in it. Nah, it's not going to bother me. It's a good show. We are called to live the Christian life in private as well as public. I've said this before, and I'm sure you've heard it said, and maybe you've said it yourself. Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a little sin. It's nothing big. But we cannot compromise on our principles. We can't be one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. We can't worship Jesus on Sunday morning and put on the Christian posture and then go home and worship pleasure or money or success or self for the rest of the week. I like this quote. Compromise is a slow process. It is 1,000 small concessions in the heart and mind that eventually wear away the truth. Those little things that we say, ah, it's not going to matter. No one's going to know. Compromise. We are called to resist compromise. Another lesson is the power of prayer. Daniel's consistent practice of prayer, even when it was forbidden, highlights the power of a disciplined prayer life. Prayer is something that we cannot neglect, because prayer is where we gain our strength, as it says up here, where we get guidance from God, and it's our connection to God. If we lose that, you know, we lose the connection. It's like the astronaut. He has to have the connection to the spaceship, otherwise he'll float off into space. We have to have that connection to God. We can certainly learn from Daniel's commitment to regular communication with God. What did the people who were watching him saw? They saw him pray 3 times a day, or they saw him take regular intervals to pray. And that's what they used against him. But did it stop him? No. So why was he saved from the lions? I think it was because of his faithfulness in prayer. I believe it was because of his faithfulness in prayer. So let's remember that prayer is important. And I still invite you to join our prayer every Tuesday night, online, from home. You don't even have to go anywhere. Join us for prayer on a Tuesday night. The details are in the newsletter for you to join us. Prayer is important for each of us. Do you trust that God will deliver you? I ask myself that question. Glenda, do you trust that God's going to deliver you from difficult circumstances? Not always as much as I should, would be my answer. But the experience of Daniel in the lion's den and his friends in the fiery furnace showcase God's miraculous deliverance in the midst of seemingly impossible situations. You know what I did tonight, last night when I went to bed? I spent time praying from things that looked, that seemed impossible, because God challenged me through this message. He challenged me to believe that he can do anything. So I prayed some prayers that look impossible, seem impossible in my experience, but nothing's impossible with God. So last night I said, yep, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to continue to do that, because God is the God of the impossible. Daniel and his friends believed that, and they were rescued from impossible situations. So their rescue encourages us to trust in God's sovereignty and believe that he has the power to deliver us from any adversity. We also see from Daniel and his friends that they showed courage in the face of persecution. It's an inspiration for us. When we look at these stories of old, when we look at these saints of old, if you like, living this in this foreign world but still upholding values, and their lives being threatened, but they would not go back. It challenges me. In my modern world, am I standing up? Question to art that we all need to ask. Be bold in your convictions, even when it may result in opposition or persecution. Stand firm and don't give in. And may we pray that God gives us courage, courage like Daniel. If we read on in Daniel, as I said before, we read about his dreams that he had. Because as you can imagine, being an exile, we're exiles. And I know that Lorna said she just wanted to go home. That's all she wanted to do, was go home to God. This world gets tiring. We want to go home. And Daniel wanted it to be different. And he said to God, when's things going to be different? And God gave him all these dreams. But also told him that it was going to be a while in the distance, so he had to stand firm. So we have to remember that God is sovereign. He is in control. He does have a plan for the world. The prophetic visions in the latter chapters of Daniel reveal God's sovereignty over nations and his ultimate plan for history. Daniel knew that deliverance was coming, that God's kingdom would one day be established and reign supreme. As I said, he longed for it, but he knew that it wasn't going to happen in his time. But he continued to trust in God and live for him in exile. We can be sure and certain that despite the uncertainties of the world, and there are many of them, God remains in control and his purposes will ultimately prevail. We will live with him in his kingdom forever. Amen. With Lorna, we'll be back rejoicing and having a party. We will live with him in his kingdom forever. Amen. So stand firm. Remember that even though it all seems a bit hard, that God is still in control. And the one thing that I really learnt about all of this from Daniel and his friends was that they lived righteously in a foreign culture. It is possible. It's possible to live a godly life and to be God's representatives in this world today. We can do it. Because Daniel's experiences in Babylon are a blueprint, if you like, for leading a righteous life in a culture that's unfriendly to our faith. Navigating diverse and secular societies is difficult and challenging. And I'm not going to say that it's not. We can learn a lot from Daniel's ability to uphold integrity and principles while still contributing positively to his surroundings. We are not to withdraw from our community, but we are to be a valuable part of it, living and displaying godly standards. So we've still got to be in the community, we've got to be working in the community, but we can still maintain and display our godly standards. That's an important one. And lastly, Daniel was a humble servant of God who acknowledged that his wisdom in interpreting dreams was a gift from God. Let me say, it's impossible to navigate the current climate that we live in without the wisdom of God. We can't do it. We need to rely on God's wisdom to prayerfully and intentionally seek his will. And that is the only way forward for the modern church. Rely on God's wisdom, prayerfully and intentionally seek his will as we move forward. So in summary, the book of Daniel imparts lasting lessons to modern Christians about maintaining faith, standing firm in our convictions, trusting in God's deliverance, and living courageously and with integrity in a world that may challenge our beliefs. I think Paul summed it up really well in the first scripture that I read to you this morning. And I know it might be hard to read up there, but I didn't want to put it on two slides. This message about taking every part of our lives and giving them to God. Not fitting in with our culture. Fixing our attention on God. Not letting ourselves be dragged down to the level of immaturity, but letting God bring out the best in us. For modern Christians like us, this passage calls for a holistic commitment to God. Holistic, every part of our lives. So not just in religious activities, but in every aspect of life. We are called to surrender all of our existence to God. This passage challenges believers to be intentional about resisting cultural pressures that may lead to conformity, and instead, focus on transformation through a renewed mind and active obedience to God's will. And this transformation happens from the inside out as the Spirit works within us. And the inside out, we're transformed. It transforms our thoughts, our attitudes, and our perspectives. And we become more in tune with God's will. We recognize God's will better. And we respond to it more promptly when we allow this transformation of the Spirit to happen within us. God's transformative work leads to well-formed maturity. the emphasis on maturity and the development of character aligns with the lifelong journey of becoming more Christ-like, reflecting his image. So we want to become more mature. We want to show more and more of Christ as we live and work in our world. God, in contrast to the culture that we live in, brings out the best in us. God brings out the best in us. That's what he wants for us. These are not rules to tie us down. These are things to help us to live as Christians in this world, to live as aliens in this world. And not just to live in this world and survive, but to actually make a difference in this world, to contribute to this world, to make it a better place. I pray that as we contemplate these lessons that we can learn from Daniel, that our faith will become dynamic and relevant in every facet of our lives, not just as individuals but as a church, that people will see a difference as we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from your word. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for Daniel and his friends. And Lord, we pray that we would stand firm in our convictions. Thank you, Lord, that we do belong to your kingdom. That one day, Lord, we will be part of that beautiful new Jerusalem. That we will be there singing praises to you all together with all the people that have gone before us. We thank you for that. But until that day, Lord, as we live, be with us, strengthen us, and help us to stand as your people. Amen.